Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. It's always a blessing coming to church and knowing that we're going to have opportunity to sing praises unto the Lord and then be ministered to through music and then the study and the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua once again, Joshua chapter 9. And on Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua, a Bible character, and what a tremendous blessing it is that God has recorded all these things about the life of Joshua. Even before we got into the book of Joshua, there was so much for us to study and to learn from what God has given to us and preserved for us. And now we've got into the book of Joshua, and it's a blessing to see how that Joshua and the nation of Israel, when they were following the direction of God, they were very powerful, and they was able to easily defeat Jericho. And then, of course, they had sin in the camp, and they went up against Ai and were defeated. Then they God's instructions for them, once they took care of the sin, then they were to go back to Ai and return to Ai. And when they went back to Ai, they was able to get the victory, and what a tremendous victory that was. And then after that, we find here in chapter 9 a different kind of warfare. And they still had the physical battle. As a matter of fact, it was getting even more intense now because all the other kings of the land of Canaan were coming together, and they were going to unite in their desire to defeat Israel and the children of God. And so that was going to be even a more difficult thing to do, is that's to battle all the kings of Canaan. And they come together with one accord, the Bible says. And then we find that God has revealed to us through this study the warfare of Gibeon. The warfare of Gibeon. It's something that they had not faced before. Something that Joshua had not faced before. And this was, of course, spiritual warfare. This would have been Satan's warfare as we study it today and learn from this and how we're able to take that into the New Testament and the teachings of Christ and the book of Revelation to help us to understand that that spiritual battle, Satan was cast out, and he is here on this earth to deceive humanity and to work opposite the ways of God. And so we have that more clearly in the New Testament. We find it here in the Old Testament, especially here in the life of Joshua. And so the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And last Wednesday night, we looked at that because the warfare of Gibeon had to do with deception. And then it led into lies that was connected to the deception. And then from there, it led into the feelings, which was instigated by the suggestions that the devil would put in the minds of Joshua and the people of Israel. And that's exactly what happens today as well. If you're not careful, you're going to start believing the lies, you're going to be deceived by the world, you're going to believe the lies of the world, and then you're actually going to start allowing the world to put faults in your mind to justify your feelings. And people are many times they're led by feelings instead of truth, instead of faith. And if you're led by feelings, a lot of times feelings will lead you in an opposite direction from that of faith. And we cannot go by feeling. Although feelings, and we'll be studying a little bit about that tonight, it's a part of our lives, but it's not the part of us that we need to let take the lead. And so that's what's going on, and we've seen that with Gibeon. And so now tonight we're looking at what happened with Joshua and how he failed in this spiritual warfare against Gibeon. And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading here chapter 9, verse 11. Joshua had just gotten back to be on the winning side. Remember that? We studied that. It's a whole lot better to be on the winning side. Amen. Have the peace of God and rejoicing over victories than to be on the side of defeat and being blinded and blindsided. And so we find here that they'd just gotten back to being on the winning side after winning the battle at Ai. And the devil's hadn't given up. He wants to now introduce a new battle plan to take down Joshua. And he did through Gibeon, but why did Joshua fail? Now plug into the service tonight, because can I tell you, this is applicable. You know, why do we fail in our Christian lives? Why is Satan able to get the advantage of us? Why is that? Well, we're going to study Joshua's failure in the warfare. Joshua chapter 9, verse 11. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country, this is Gibeon making their last pitch, spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This is our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new. And behold, they be rent. And these garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. All that's deception and lies and false thoughts placed in their minds. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shepherah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again tonight, it is a blessing to be assembled together once again. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this opportunity that you made and gave to each one of us that are here. And now, Father, I ask that you would just help us to stay focused on this passage of Scripture and on the message that you have for each one of us here tonight. I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And you may be seated. So Joshua's failures in the warfare. The first thing that we find here as we study this passage of Scripture, and again, it's been preserved by God in the life of Joshua to help us to learn from this, but Joshua failed to stay focused on the task at hand. He's failed to stay focused on the task that God had given to him. You see, they were there to conquer the land. That was the whole reason of them going, crossing Jordan, and to go into the land of Canaan, is they were there to conquer the land and to establish the promised land that God had for them. For all the earth to acknowledge the true God of heaven. That's what they were to do. That's what this is all about. That's what the promised land was all about. It was the children of God being in the will of God as a testimony for the rest of the world to look to them and to realize Israel's God is the only true God. And that's what Satan was battling. It's what Satan did not want. They did not want for Israel to have a testimony to the world that their God was real, their God was true, their God was faithful. And so there's a spiritual battle going on here now. Joshua, they just defeated Ai, and he had been informed of the next battle, the physical battle that they were going to have to fight. And that would include all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, all the kings coming together to fight against them. That's enough to stay focused on. In verse 2, look at what it says right here. The Bible says, and they gathered themselves together. It mentions all of those kings of Canaan, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. So that's on Joshua's mind. That's on the leadership's mind. We got this victory at Ai, and now after the victory at Ai, then we've seen what God is able to do. But now all the rest of the kings of Canaan are coming together, and they're putting all their differences aside, and they're uniting in one accord to attack the God of Israel. So this was what was most important, this battle. This is what Joshua should have stayed focused on, especially at this particular time. If you will, it was the number one priority. You know, there's always a lot of different things that we're having to deal with, having to battle this and that, whatever it might be. But can I tell you, there's always a list of priorities. And we need to understand what is most important. What is the most, in my at this point in my life, at this place, what's going on around me, what I'm battling and all the different things, what I'm doing in church and what I'm doing at the work and I'm doing at home. What is the most important battle that you're facing right now? If you don't know, you should know. If you're lumping it all together, can I tell you, you're going to be distracted with all the minor things, all the lesser important things, and it's going to keep you from winning the most important battles in your life. We need to be able to know what's going on in our own lives. And if you know what's going on in your own life and what kind of battles you have to fight, then you will know what to put first, what is the priorities, and to give that the attention that it needs. Josh was on the winning side. The nation of Israel just went back and they defeated Ai. And so now they're excited about being on the winning side. And they just heard, this is the next battle. All these kings are coming up against you. That would have been the number one priority, the most important thing for them to focus on and start praying for and start looking to, is how are we going to be able to defeat all of the kings and all the men, at the very same time. God, help us to know what we are to do right here, right now. But he lost focus. And the devil was able to send a representation of Gibeon with lies, deception, false feelings, if you will, truths that led to wrong feelings, which would sidetrack them from the most important battle that they had to fight. Verse 6 and 7. Now this, they just heard, we're battling all these kings. And now this few people come, this group, this entourage from Gibeon who claims to be something that they're not, who's filled with deception and dishonesty and all these different things. And verse 6 says, and they went to Joshua. It wasn't coincidental. It was a deliberate act of spiritual warfare. And they were being pawns in the devil's hands. And they went to Joshua and to the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now, therefore, make ye a league with us. That should have been the very last thing on Joshua's mind. It was to be making a league with anybody. Because it was not what was most important in their lives at that time. What was most important in their lives at that point was to defeat the kings of Canaan, to conquer the land, to establish the testimony of God. For the rest of the world would be impacted by the testimony of God seen through the nation of Israel. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, how shall we make a league with you? They even understood. They realized that they could not make a league with anybody who was of the inhabitants of Canaan. They knew that the decision could affect their number one priority if they made a decision to make a league with anyone in Canaan. They had been warned about it. Matter of fact, go back with me to Exodus in chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Joshua was warned when he got into the nation, into the land of Canaan, that this would be a possibility. All those years earlier, as well as Moses was warned. And Joshua was Moses' commander. He was his right-hand man. The Bible says here in Exodus in chapter 34, verse 11, observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now this is the word of God that had come to them. If they had rehearsed the word of God, they would have known this. They would have been reminded of what the Bible says. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest. Isn't that what they're getting ready to do? So they had lost sight of the Bible. They had lost sight of God's word. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. And that's what will happen if you love anybody, make a league with you in the land of Canaan. It's not a godly area. It is a heathen people that are serving false gods. But ye shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves so that they don't influence you in the land. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. They had that message. They had that written down. Matter of fact, we've already studied that they wrote down all the law and they read it, rehearsed it before the people after the victory at Ai. And yet, they're getting ready to do the very thing that the scriptures had warned them about doing. And it's because they lost focus and were getting sidetracked from addressing the most important thing in their lives at that time. Wow. I don't know about you, but if I'm not careful, I'll have one thing on my mind that I need to get done, and then I start to go do it, and I'll see this, and I'll see that, and I'll turn away, start doing this, and I'll start doing that, and doing this. And before you know it, I've been chasing rabbits and calling out squirrels everywhere I'm looking here. And at the end of the day, I'm thinking, I failed to do the main thing that I set out to accomplish that today. And we can look back at some of those things and we can laugh at that because it's human nature. It's things that just, if we're not careful, will let take away our thoughts and our time from the more important things. But when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's not fun. It's not something to laugh at. Because it's real. Because the devil does not, and he's very, very real, and he does not want you accomplishing God's will for your life. And he's going to try to sidetrack you and get you focused on things other than what's most important. Yeah. There will be times when we must address multiple things at the same time. I'm not saying we have to just one thing at a time and can't task and we can't have all. But even though we are dealing with multiple things at the same time, we always need to establish priorities. We cannot allow ourselves to be sidetracked by a lesser priority. What is the most important battle going on in your life? Yeah. Spiritual warfare of Gibeon. As a pastor, I look back over and I believe that the church is the most important thing in this church age. That's what Satan's looking to attack, and that's what he wants to destroy more than anything else. If you destroy the church that Jesus Christ established, if you destroy the light in the midst of the darkness, wow, there's no hope for the world. I'm sure glad that Jesus told us about that. And he said, the gates of hell should not prevail against my church. And that means the gates of hell are going to try to prevail against his church. As a pastor, 36 years of ministry, once we got into this property here, and most of you know the story, but in 18 years, we went through 9 building projects, building buildings. I could have been a construction manager. At times, I felt like I was. Building. When you go into a building project, especially with a church and trying to work together, you have all these different things going on. And we needed to build. We needed to make sure that we had a facility where the people who wanted to come could come. 9 building programs in 18 years. We were building every 2 years. After the first one, I thought the first one was pretty exciting. We're building. We're growing. Because I'd never been through a building project before. Once I realize what goes on in the middle of a building project, I told our people, we'll never build out of a desire to build again. There's never a desire. We build out of necessity. And for those 18 years, it was a necessity to build every 2 years. I hear of so many churches having splits, closing their doors in the midst of a building project. Because there's so many things that can sidetrack you from the most important thing that you're doing. You get focused on building, you lose sight of why you're building. Can I tell you that I realized in the midst of the first building project, the church membership was the first priority. Now, why do you say that? Because church membership is the church. If you lose church memberships, does it really matter how many buildings you have? If it's about the buildings, then focus your time on the buildings, and you can build greater and bigger and better buildings. But if in the meantime, when you're building buildings, you lose sight of the number one priority, and the number one priority is the church itself, the membership, the body of Christ. Satan's getting the victory. And this principle we find with Joshua, it's something that we need to learn, especially if you're in position of leadership, dads, husbands, fathers. And understanding the church membership, I realized that my time was going to be pulled. I was going to be pulled in so many different directions. I had to, and God, praise God for it, because God gave me wisdom enough to include my deacons helping with membership. God gave us staff to help with membership. Yeah. We had to do whatever we needed to do to make sure that we was taking care of membership. In those years, I realized even then that even though I wanted to do it everything, I had to focus on the things that only I could accomplish, the things that needed a pastor's attention. I can, in matter of fact, we've done it all, from janitor positions, cleaning the commodes, to building, to doing this, to teaching, everything. But if I was spending my time doing those things, then the church would be hindered by not having a pastor. And church membership needed a pastor. So the most important thing for church membership was feeding the flock of God, because that's what the Bible tells us. Matter of fact, over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, let me read that to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, and you can write these down. But 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 1 through 4, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God. If the body is going to stay strong, it needs to be fed. If the membership are going to grow and are going to do what the members need to do in serving God, they need to be fed. You might be able to do a lot of other things, even as a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, but if you're not being fed the Word of God, you're going to at some point fall by the wayside. And some have, because they didn't keep their priorities straight. And they got sidetracked as church members doing all the different things, and they failed to be fed. If we're not being fed, we're not spiritually growing, and we're not able to win the spiritual battles. We'll lose the spiritual battles. And if I lose the spiritual battles, I'm losing the priorities in my life. And I'm going to be focusing on things that are lesser priorities, which the devil will let me have some victories in lesser priorities if it's going to cost me the majority, the most important priorities. He'll let you win somebody to Christ if you lose your family in the midst of it. We've all seen that. feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind. It means you got to put your heart into it. You got to put your all into it. You have to realize this is the most important thing that a pastor can do, and that is to make sure that he is feeding the flock of God. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensembles to the flock. And when the chief shepherd comes, don't ever lose sight of the chief shepherd. Shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Yeah. Book of Acts in chapter 20, let me read this to you. Acts in chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts in chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul writes here to the pastors in Ephesus, and he says this: take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus purchased with his own blood. Can I tell you, that has to be the most important. That is the church. And the church is the people. The church is the membership. Can't lose sight of that. You lose sight of that, and you're going to lose sight of the most important battles that you are facing. Preaching. That's why I continued to focus every Saturday night on preaching, not the message. Me. Making sure I had the right message so that I could give it what it needed and be all that I could be as that instrument that God was working through to feed the flock of God. That's made a difference in this church. There's no doubt in my mind. None. Church services. Priority one, as I look to it, it's membership. With that being priority one, then the priority to that is preaching. So in order to preach, you have to be in services. And that's all coming together. So church services. Through all of the building projects and all the other things that could have taken our time away, we never lost sight of the importance of the services where the people are going to hear the preaching of the Word of God and the membership was going to be strengthened. No one stays out unless it's vital to the service for all. We had the fellowship dinner, and there's always that temptation of staying back in the kitchen because we're going to feed everybody and all that. No. Most important thing is not for everyone to get physical food. Most important thing is everyone to get spiritual food. You're going to be in the services. No, we don't need any more in the nursery than what we have to have in the nursery, because now I believe the nursery provides a service that allow us to have the service that we have out here so that parents can actually hear the Word of God and be fed so they can be the parents they need to be. And so we have to have a nursery, but let's make sure that no one stays in the nursery. Some people, they would go to the nursery just to get out of church. I'm thinking, where's that coming from? You're blinded. We have security now because of all the different things going on, and we have to have certain men that's going to volunteer their time to be able to make sure that the walk the halls, to make sure of security. And I understand, I don't like that, but I understand that. But make sure that you're not going to volunteer to security every service. No, because as a pastor, I'm not going to let that happen, because I know you need to be in the services, and we all need to worship God, and we all need to be fed the Word of God. That That's priorities. No matter what else is going on, we have to stay focused on the priorities and not lose sight of other things that are important and other things we might have to do. But we're not going to give more time to lesser priorities and forsake the higher priorities. But if you don't know what they are, you'll be more apt to lose sight of winning the most important battles in your life. Thank God that He gave us wisdom to be able to do that. Understand godly priorities and stay focused. Do you know what should be your number one priority? Your walk with God. Your walk with God is going to be dependent on the time that you spend with God. Your walk with God is going to be dependent on being fed by the preaching of the Word of God. Your walk with God is going to be dependent on you spending the necessary time doing the necessary things to know God. Because if you are not walking close to God, which is the most important thing in your life, then possibly if you're married, the second most important priority needs to be your marriage, if you're married. But if you lose sight of God, then you will lose sight of marriage. If you stay focused on God, then He's going to help you to understand. Then as a born-again believer, as you serve God, the most important thing for you to do and to be is that godly husband, is that godly wife, because that's what holds the families together. And when you have children, don't prioritize the children over your marriage. And even more important, your walk with God. We have children now, so we can't go to church because we need to do this. We got to spend time with them, and we got to take them to the ballpark, and we got to take them to the lakes, and we got to take them on vacation. And oh, preacher, you have to understand, these are children. We want to spend the time with them. Listen to me. That is not the priority that you ought to have in life. God is your priority. Your marriage is your second, and then your children are your third, because if you lose sight of the priorities, not going to have the Christian family that God wants you to have. Well, you know, my wife wants me to do this and that. That's why God's given you the headship. My husband's doing this and that, and that's why God's given you the position of influence. You can influence your husband. You can influence your wife. You will influence your children by how you live. Talk to any youth pastor. The hardest young people to deal with are the church kids that are not living church at home. Just the way it is. Because you're losing the more important battles. Higher priority battles for a lesser priority win. Never works. It'll never work. Joshua, stay focused on the main battle with the kings. This is going to take your full time and attention. Don't even listen to the Gibeon. Don't even take that. It's not time for that. You're not there to make friends and influence people. You're there to defeat and conquer the land. Don't let it get you sidetracked. Yeah. Joshua, second of all, he allowed himself to be pressured into a hasty decision. 6, verse 6. Go back with me to our text. Everybody there over there? I'm not going to be much longer because we're running out of time. Maybe spend a little bit too much time on the first point, but that's an important point. Stay focused on the task, the highest priority. Know what it is. Know what it is in your life. And sometimes, now God never, that's always priority one. Family, marriage is always priority two. Children, always. Family, priority three. Church, priority four, except for needing church for priority one. I keep all those, but then we have things at work, and we have health, and we have things here. We have a lot of different, but prioritize them. Because Satan will try to deceive you into getting a lesser priority victory at the cost of losing a higher priority. Don't do that. So now we find the second thing, and this is what happened to Joshua here. The Bible tells us in verse 6 in chapter 9, we become from a far country now, therefore make ye a league with us. Come on, just believe us. We wouldn't lie to you. Look at here, look at our clothes, look at everything else. And it appeared one way different than what it was. And they're pressuring. Verse 11, we are your servants. That's what you wanted to hear, right? We'll help you. We'll serve right alongside of you. We believe in your God. We are your servants. Therefore, now, don't put it off any longer because you might lose chance of getting us on your side. So you have to act now. We are your servants. Therefore, now, make ye a league with us. Wow. And Joshua made peace with them, verse 15. Made a league with them to let them live. And the princesses of the congregation swear unto them. Joshua failed to be patient in making a life-changing decision. If it's of God, can I tell you, he's not going to pressure you into making it before you need to make it. Be patient. And as you're being patient, you're asking God for wisdom to make the right decision. James chapter 1, let me read to you. James chapter 1, you know the verses here, but I want to read them to you. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, all these different trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Anybody here without trials? Can I tell you one of the reasons for trials is to learn to trust and wait upon God? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, this is what waiting on God is. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We have to be patient and wait on God. And as we're waiting on God, we're asking for wisdom to make the right decisions. Joshua didn't do that. He just bought into the lies and deception of the devil and therefore made a wrong decision, even though it seemed like the right decision. And then lastly, this evening, Joshua failed to look to God and to seek counsel. Look to God as he's patiently waiting on God and seeking counsel before he makes the decision. In verse 14, I think that's very clear. That was the main thing there. And the men took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Proverbs in chapter 11, I'm closing out here, but let me just read to you these verses. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where no counsel, they didn't get any counsel. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In chapter 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Can I tell you, we never need to rely on our own judgment alone. That's fool. To think that you know everything and that you'll make the right decision based on your wisdom. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In chapter 19, this is the Bible. This is the scriptures that we have to look to. In the Bible, in chapter 19 and verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. After you made the decision, you made the right decision. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We have God's counsel. It's right here. Amen. It's the same for all of us. It'll never change. We have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, he dwells within you. His spirit will bear witness with your spirit if you diligently seek him. We have godly pastors. We have those men that God has chosen to preach and to teach and to counsel his word. It's available. We have a God who controls the circumstances of life, which we need to be aware of. And finally, we have desires. Desires, feelings ought to always bring up the rear, should never be placed into the front of decisions being made. But the Bible reveals that God would give us the desires of our heart if it's within the will of God. Let's always make sure that prioritize in making right decisions. First priority is the Bible. Second is the Holy Spirit that gives us peace. Third is counselors that God will bring into your life. Fourthly, is the circumstances that we're facing. And lastly, God works even in the desires of our hearts, but never against the truths of his word. Spiritual warfare. Joshua's facing that. It's the warfare at Gibeon, which is the very same warfare that we fight today, because the devil is the very same enemy. Don't make the mistakes. Learn from them. And let's continue to get the victories over the priorities in our lives. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Wow. So much there. I trust it was presented in a way that would help. God has it there for us to help. We're in this series on Wednesday nights to be able to help. Do you know what the priorities are in your own life and the battles that you're engaged in? Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word and for the example and the testimony of Joshua. And I pray, God, that as we have looked at this tonight and presented this truth, that it would be received, and God, it would help strengthen us to make sure that we are focused on the priorities that you have given to us in our lives. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.